Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Connect Four, playing games, children, and getting the rules a little bit mixed up, and how that relates to us as adult dyslexics or those with ADHD or any fantastic neurodiverse tag you have been given. So let's dive into this. Okay, let's dive into this episode. So this one, you know, really starts with me painting a bit of a picture. So I want you to imagine it's a Saturday and we're sitting on the floor, on the carpet. It's a light colored carpet. And we've just whipped out the Connect Four box. We've had to clip it together. It's one of those blue Connect Four, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's kind of like a playing board, but sideways. We've got out the red and yellow counters, and myself, Holly, and her daughter are playing. We're all playing this game, just having a bit of fun on a weekend. Now, with Holly's daughter, she's potentially right-brained, in my opinion. She's very strong, very independent, can talk the legs off a donkey. You know, is that the phrase? I don't know. But, you know, she's a real talker. And she'll go on forever. She has all those usual things that many dyslexic kids have, where they can spend 15 minutes explaining why they shouldn't do something that took 5 minutes, and a bunch of different things that really stand out to me, you know, when you just have an intuition about something. And one of the things that is also interesting, you know, when we were playing this game, and playing any games in general, is she'll have a bunch of rules in her head for the game that she's potentially created or the picture she's seen. And she'll play by the rules, those specific rules. So when we're playing, she's got this way of trying to win every game. She doesn't like to lose, does not have any interest in losing. No matter how much she's lost, she will adjust the rules. She's worked out that everything is, in her mind, especially at her age, everything is flexible, even the rules of the game after you've completed the game. And she can get quite upset about it, and we're working through that with her a little bit to get her a bit more resilient around it. But one of the things that really stood out to me is how we all paint pictures in our heads of how things are, how these truths are. So she's got some real clear truths about how things work, like this Connect Four game. You know, for her to win, you know, you could connect four in an L shape, which isn't technically a rule, and you couldn't do it left or right in a straight line. You could only do it on an angle. And the next rule she invented in her head, or the picture she had, was you've got to use all of your counters or you don't win. No one wins. It's clear. We had a similar run-in with the game Jenga, where she created all these really imaginative rules. And it's a really beautiful thing. Like we're kind of nurturing it while being very aware to kind of set some expectations around it. We don't want to hurt her creativity, but we do, you know, especially, you know, we want to make sure she's, you know, set up for the rigors of life, that she can't always create the rules. But I guess what I wanted to get across on this, on playing these games, and looking at her amazing imagination, is just how we set these pictures of rules. And if we say to ourselves enough that these rules are real, we truly believe them and we will fight for them and we'll get upset if these rules aren't true, these creations. And one of the things I notice a lot with dyslexics is we can completely create these worlds in our head that seem so real that they can bring us to an emotional halt, be it through anxiety, depression, you know, anything, right? And, you know, the rules of these games, these would bring her to tears if she lost, especially if we'd, in her eyes, changed the rules that she was so firm on, which was quite amazing. She was so set on these rules. Sometimes these rules, she hadn't even explained to us that she had a slightly different set of rules. She just thought we should know them, and it upset her when it went wrong. And, you know, this episode is nothing to do with picking on a child. Just be very aware. I'm not sure anyone thought that, but I want to make that really clear. I think children are fantastic at showing unabridged emotion. As we get older, we still have these beliefs. We still have these things that we hold so true. We just don't say them as much. And when there are problems or pains, or where we feel like we have something's not worked out, instead of letting that out in tears or anger or frustration, like a child who doesn't really have those limiting, you know, limits, shall we say, you know, we hold them deep inside. And all of that stuff just keeps building and building and building and building and can cause us a lot of pain. And those visual beliefs can be challenging, right? I've been working through this issue with sales in a previous episode around selling being a positive, not a negative. It's just a tool that I can use. I mentioned that a couple of episodes ago. But, you know, I know that these pictures I've got in my head around it have been created based on a bunch of different experiences that I've applied meaning to. And because my mind is so powerful, when I decide to apply meaning, you know, the meaning, you know, is always directed at keeping me safe. And, you know, if there's enough emotion and energy applied to it, I truly believe it, whether it's right or wrong. You know, and that's the big takeaway, is to not trust that what you believe is right. And you might be sitting there going, well, that just unravels the rest of my life. Now, it's not to say that it's right or wrong, you know, and I think that's the key. It's, if something is not right, it does not mean it is wrong. And that's a belief in itself, right? but it's important to realize that your map is just the map of the world that you're operating under. And with the dyslexic mind, not that everyone doesn't do this to a point, but our visual power is so strong, it can create some really interesting parts of that map of how we look at the world. And that map that you've got in front of yourself, the power of this map, and it's been proved time and time again, is that this map can be changed. This map is not fixed in stone. It is not printed once, cannot be rubbed out. I want you to imagine it's that marker pen that you can rub off of a whiteboard. This map is all marker pen that can be rubbed off with a whiteboard rubber. But you have to want to be able to do it. Hopefully rubber means the same thing around the world. For me, it's like, you know, pencil, and you want to scratch something out with a rubber. Hopefully, I know that has another meaning. And I'm saying that to a bunch of dyslexics, so who knows what's gone through your mind. But what I really wanted to share around this is it's very, very important to realize that your mind is flexible. And when I look at Holly's daughter and I think about it, you know, she's got these very fixed rules in her mind. Now, she believes these rules are the rules, and she gets physically upset if she loses based on the rules she has in her head. But if she, you know, those rules can change. We can teach her and overwrite that part of her map. And as a child, we're a lot more likely to be able to override that map. But as adults, we can do it as well. We just have to want to. We just have to believe. Like it's a, like, you know, and again, coming back to my example with sales, it's much, much easier for me just to keep holding my old map of me hating sales. It's much easier. I, you know, changing the map is hard. It's not just, oh, rule rubber, rub that out. You know, I'm a billionaire. Oh, let me rub that in, rub it out. And I'll do another episode on how, you know, you can set your mind up for success around this. But it's a really important thing to realize that our minds can be changed. The maps that we're living our life by can be adjusted. You just have to have that belief that this could be done. Not that it always will, but it could be done. You just have to open that gap in your head that it's not a fixed, forced thing. You know, and it's like some people say, hey, I'm terrible at computers. I know some older people especially, they go, I don't even want to learn about computers. I just don't get them. I don't understand them. And guess what? They don't. But could that belief be changed? Could these people go, actually, I could be good at computers. Not I am, but I could be good at computers. If they said that to themselves enough, do you think they would open the opportunity in their head to start visualizing how they could be better? Do you think they would start to find more opportunities? So it's really, really important. And this was all just, you know, we were just playing board games, having a bit of fun on the weekend, but it really made me think about this. And I know it's a part of my life I'm going through because I'm trying to really work on my own performance and open my own mind to change and seeing the world with different eyes. You know, because if you couldn't change your mind, what would be the point? You know, that's the point to life. And I think many dyslexics can see that. We can step back and go, hey, things can change. I don't always know how, but they can change. That's what I believe. Like, things can adjust. The world is not fixed. It's always flowing. And I want a piece of that. So I hope that's just got you thinking. I hope that's done nothing more than just give you that ability to realize things can change. Your map of the world can be adjusted. It can be shaken. It can be moved. And I hope that's just, yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. I've got another episode to do this week because I'm running a little late. Who would have thought? Have an epic rest of your day, and I'll be back tomorrow.